shed blood on Calvary. That gives us freedom, life, liberty, salvation. We thank you, Father, for Jesus and the blood that he shed on Calvary. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to continue our series. Actually, we're going to finish the series on growing into your destiny. And of course, you know, our first scripture that we'll, our setting is 1 Corinthians 13:11. So you might want to turn there. And then we're going to Ephesians 4:14-16. I'll give you a chance to turn to those scriptures. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now here Paul's talking about growing up spiritually. And actually the context of this verse there is in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which we call the love chapter. But, you know, one of the signs of a spiritually grown person is that they consistently walk in love toward everybody. Now let's look at Ephesians 4:14-16 in the New King James, and then I'm going to also read the New Living Translations. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about on every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, New Living Translation says it like this. We will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We actually see by these verses that to grow up spiritually and to grow into your destiny, we will be healthy, grown, and full of love. Now, I need to, of course, for some of you that were not here, we need, and for all of you to get on the same page, you know, we need to review. How many of you ever gone into the classroom and they review what they did to the last, before they go to the next lesson, right? All right, in lesson one, we talked about the main points was God wants you to grow up so he can show you his world. Number two, we must realize that it's beneficial to grow up spiritually. Number three, do you know what God wants you to be when you grow up? Then in lesson number two, we talked about being spiritually grown doesn't happen overnight. There are similarities between physical and spiritual stages of growth. And then how to recognize when you have grown up spiritually. Then in lesson three, we dealt with growing up spiritually is not automatic. We must follow God's plan to grow spiritually. And then we got to understand that God will lead, that leads us, he leads us step by step in the plans that he wants us to grow in. And then growing up spiritually will empower you to stand strong in the difficulties of life. Now that's just the main points. Today we start lesson four, and the verses that we just have read to you show us that we need to grow up spiritually, and when we do, then we can demonstrate the godly qualities like the love of God. Now, You know, one of the things that I've tried to do, and because I followed after my father, I watched him, is to develop my love walk. You know, that's tough to do for a person that's very competitive. But I was, and what people don't know, Kenneth E. Hagin was very competitive. Some of the people know he liked to play a board game called Doogies. Actually, I think the real name of it is Aggravation, but he called it Doogies. That's what he called it. And he didn't like to lose. In fact, if you won, you played again. And if you won, you played again. There's one of his granddaughters sitting back there, and I see her shaking her head. She knows what I'm talking about. You played till he won. Actually, that is sort of a Hagin characteristic. I've noticed that I've gone back and looked at our ancestry and so forth and so on. And actually, one of our mottos, actually it's on our crest of the Hagin family, is victory or death. And we are sort of that way. I see it in some of my grandsons, you know. And so I've had to try to develop that, and I don't know that I've conquered it. I don't know that any of us have conquered it, but how many of you are with me trying to develop your faith walk, your love walk? Because that's part of growing up. You know, when we're kids, everything is mine, mine, mine. How many understand what I'm talking about? You have to learn how to share. So, and I've had to learn not to refuse to pay back those who have done me wrong. You know, it's pretty easy when people criticize your dad and criticize you for what you believe, even though it's as plain as day in the Bible. You have to maintain some spiritual maturity, or these things will cause you to want to retaliate. I remember when I first started in the traveling ministry, you know, guys that I went to school with that were pastoring churches and everything, because of the faith message and so forth, none of them would have me for meetings. And I would be at conferences and so forth in the denomination I was in at that time, and they would be scheduling these kids out of that were in Bible school, you know, which is nothing wrong with that, but here I am, a seasoned minister, and they won't schedule you for a meeting. And so, you know, some years went by, and then one guy, they called me, "Hey man, could you come and help me out? You're traveling all over, preaching all over the world. Could you come and help me out?" And my first tendency was to say, "Hey bud, when I needed you, you didn't need me. Now you need me, and I don't need you. Because I got more places to go than I can shake a stick at. I can't even get to all of them." But, you know, I could have done that and turned my back, but instead I tried to help him if I could. You know, that's what the Bible talks about. Love returns good for evil, and that requires some spiritual growth on your part to do that. So the title to this lesson is Love is the Greatest Growth Booster. Love is the greatest growth booster. Now, one of the greatest characteristics of spiritual growing up is, and maturity, is to walk in love toward our fellow man. Now, walking in love, the love of God, is as spiritual as you can get. Now, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. You already have been there once. Now we turn back there. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start with the first, fourth verse. We're going to talk about love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Now I want to read that from the Amplified. The Amplified simply means what it says. It amplifies it, okay? That's what's happening to my voice. It's being amplified over these speakers through the system. Okay, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done in. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up unto anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As the prophecy, the gift of interpretation, divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and passed away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed in season. For knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value to be superseded by truth. Love never fails. This is a description we just read of how love acts. And this, if you don't realize it, this is a description how God acts. How to know that? Know that? Because the Bible says God is love. 1 John 4:8. He who does not know God, for God is love. The Message Bible says it like this. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love, so you can't know him if you don't love. Now, you know, love. God is love. So everything he does, he acts in love. That means then that we should do the same thing. Now, there's two things that God does. God always acts in love, and God always acts in the highest spiritual maturity. You know, we haven't accomplished it yet, but we should be trying to accomplish growing into our destiny, growing up spiritually, and this cannot be done until you begin to understand to walk in love as a spiritual mature person. You know, I know some people have said, oh, if I could have faith like Kenneth Hagin. Well, it's true. Kenneth E. Hagin. But it's true. He did have a high level of faith. But you know, faith wasn't the proof of his spiritual maturity. His healing ministry wasn't as proof of his spiritual growth. Actually, his love walk was the highest expression of his spiritual growth. And many of you, how many of you were here at his memorial service? Many of you said, do you remember? Most everybody that got up here and said something, they talked about his love. How many of you remember that? You know, it says, when we were reading there, it says, love believes the best about every person. I remember that somebody was asking him about an individual, and my dad, he was just, you know, he wasn't answering directly. He is being very evasive. And I never forget, her mom said, why don't you, or she said, Kenneth, why don't you just tell him like it is? And he said, well, now, wait a minute. He said, I realize that person has made some mistakes, but maybe they've changed, and I don't want to say anything derogatory about them. Now that's love walk right there. In fact, this individual had said and done things against him, but he still didn't retaliate. Now, he had great faith, but why did he have great faith? You can't have great faith without great love. Galatians 5:6, the last part of it says, in the New King James says, faith working through love. And the King James says, faith working by love. Sometimes people look at the strangest things to try to prove how they are spiritually mature. You know, they talk about some great miracle or healing that has taken place because they prayed for somebody, or maybe they've received themselves. Then some people look at all the things that God has given, material things, as proof of their spiritual growth. And then some people point to the gifts of spirit in operation in their lives as a group of spiritual maturity. And none of those are true. Actually, if you look at that last one, the gifts of the spirit, the apostle Paul was right. That's why he wrote the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians to the Corinthian church, because he said, I can't even, you know, putting everything together, I can't even talk to you as grown people because you're still children, and I can't give you the meat of the word. He said, you got all these gifts in operation, but you're still carnal. Anybody read that? Anybody studied the Corinthians, studied the Pauline epistles? See, that's what you call it in Bible school and seminary. It's the Pauline epistles. Somebody said, oh, this has a Paulinian flair to it. Well, that, and then you have the Johannian literature. Anybody ever took Johannian literature? Yep, that's what they are. That's simply the studies of the writing of the Apostle John. See, they got all these fine phrases for all that stuff, you know. But he wrote to the Corinthian church, and they were talking about they had all the gifts of spirit in operation, yet he said they're still carnal because he said there's strife and all kinds of stuff. See, they hadn't conquered their love walk yet. You know, there's not strife when you learn how to walk in love. Boy, I tell you what, you know, I'm not getting a lot of shouting this morning. Somebody said, I'm going to pull my toes back out of the pew. But you see, have you ever noticed when a teacher begins to teach about people of God, they have to do something? Have you ever noticed they tighten up? But man, when you're talking about what all they're going to get and what all God's going to, why? But when you start talking to them about them doing something with their own life. See, some people want God to do it. God's not going to do everything. He's given you a pattern of how you can accomplish if you follow the word, but you're going to have to do it. He's not going to make you. All right? You know, walking in love is the highest level of spiritual growth that you can get. Turn to your neighbor and say, walking in love is the highest growth, highest plane of spiritual growth that you can have. I want you to get a hold of that. You know, somebody said, well, I would walk in love if I had that God kind of love. The real truth of the matter is you do. We all have the God kind of love. We just have to learn to walk in it. We have to learn how to use it. Romans 5:5 in the New King James, and then Romans 5:5 in the NLT. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, NLT says it like this. It's a little easier to understand. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Remember, anybody here remember when you was learning how to ride a bicycle? How many of you fell down? If you didn't fall, you're a real exception. How many of you, you finally got it where you wasn't falling, but you was wobbling all over the place? You know. But, finally, you learn how to ride it, and you go wherever you want it. You know, the problem was that you didn't have a bicycle, but you had to learn to use it. And after practicing a while to ride that bicycle, no problem. In fact, you could probably go get on a bicycle now, and within about 2 or 3 minutes, you're back riding again. See, that's the way it is. You got to learn how to work love, and if you'll work it, it'll keep going. Now, some people get out of love, but if you just jump right back over, it doesn't take very long to get back in. Hello. See, our problem is not do we have God's love. Our problem is to learn how to use the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible tells us the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, right? Then you have to learn how to use it. You know, you can have something, but until you learn how to use it, it's not going to do you any good. Boy. You know, walking in love is so easy when everything around you and everybody around you is acting like they should. It's so easy. But when somebody does something that hurts you, or another person happens to get the promotion that you thought you should get, that's when you have to choose to walk in love. That's when you find out if you really got love or not. It's easy when everything is going good and people are patting you on your back and telling you how great you are. But it's another thing when they start talking about you. And getting on the television and the radio and calling your name. And telling how wrong you are, what a heretic you are, and so forth. The Hagans have been there. They've done it and still doing it. But you know, that's when you choose to suffer long and be kind. Now, you have to put the old man down, because this dude standing right here in front of you, I wanted to go find some of those people and show them what a knuckle sandwich tasted like. Come on, I'm being truthful. And I'm not any different than you are. How many of you people have said stuff about you and you wanted to go take care of the situation? Then, you know, you believe in God for something, and then somebody, your friend or even some of your relatives, they get it. You have to choose not to be envious. See, love chooses. It chooses to be what it's supposed to be and do what it's supposed to do. You have to get the revelation that the love of God is bigger than anything you'll ever have to overcome in your life. I didn't say it would be easy. I said the love of God can help you to overcome every one of those kind of obstacles that come at you. Walking in love will bring you out on top every time. First Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Amplified says love never fails, never fades out, or is obsolete, or comes to an end. We're reading here what the Word of God says. Love never, 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 fails. Never. Love is the greatest revelation after salvation that you can get a hold of from the Word of God. Because when you get a hold of love, your faith can bring you anything you need. When you get a hold of love, you can walk in the love of God and realize that all the blessings of God can come your way. Do you realize that some people are believing God, they're giving, they're doing all the other things, but because they're a little bit off in their love walk, they can't get the full blessing. They're just getting part of the blessing. Whoa, that didn't go over well, but it's the truth. Nothing will help you more than to understand the revelation of the love of God. Nothing will help you grow up faster than understanding the love of God. You know, sometimes, I'm not any good with it, but people that work with plants and all this, they get some kind of something to put on there. I mean, I think one of them's called, I'm not advertising this product. I just heard it one time. Miracle-Grow, and it helps their plants to grow faster and be better and all that. You know, sometimes that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the cure-all for our problems and our difficulties. Love is our Miracle-Grow. That helps us grow spiritually faster than anything else will. Love is the greatest growth booster that you'll ever find. Nothing will ever get the best of love, because nothing will ever get the best of God, and God is love. Nothing will fix things faster for you than walking in the love of God. Nothing will help you to rise higher than walking in the love of God. Nothing can conquer the love of God. Paul says it like this in Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Here Paul says nothing can conquer us through the love of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul went through a lot of difficulties, didn't he? You ever read all the difficulties Paul went through? But he was never overcome. When things are difficult and someone's trying to get the best of you and bring the worst out in you, Go grab the love chapter in the Amplify and read it. And if you're having trouble with your love walk, then read it every morning before you leave the house. And read it every night before you go to bed. Read it until it stirs the love of God up on the inside of you. Read it till it activates the love of God. Read it until the love of God is kicked in gear and you think before you act. You think before you speak. And your actions speak of the love of God. Now, I'm not talking about being a doormat and all that. I'm talking about the love of God. God wants you to grow up. That was the first thing that we said. The first lesson was God wants you to grow up because he wants to show you his world. Paul said he could not give the Corinthian church all they needed to know because they weren't walking in love. And God wants us to walk in love so he can give us all that he's got. How many of you want to get all that God's got? Then learn to walk in love. There is more for you than you've ever imagined as you grow up and allow the love of God to flow in your life. As you do, you'll quickly see that the plan of God for you, and you'll quickly grow into your destiny and find that as you learn to walk in love, that is all you need to get everything that God has for you. Hallelujah. That's just a little bit that came to me is at the end of the message, and I just wrote it down and gave it to you as I got it when I was reading it. I hope it came across the way it did to me as I finished up there. How many of you have enjoyed this series? Yes. How many of you got anything out of this series? You know, I got stuff out of it and myself, and you know, and that's something I think this is a subject that we can never, ever, ever exhaust and get enough of, is learning how to walk in the love of God. Learning how to walk in love is one of the hardest things that you're going to find that you can do, but you're going to find when you walk in love, God, the God kind of love, you're going to find out that your faith works better, things come to you quicker, God moves in your life quicker than any other time. Heavenly Father, I thank you today as we've spoken about the love of God. Help us all to step up our game and let the love of God work mightily in us and through us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there's some of you in this place, you might say, well, I don't have the love of God because I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Or some of you may be here and say, well, I know what it is to walk in love, but I haven't been exactly doing exactly what I should, and I need to rededicate my life to God. Or there may be others here that say, I go to church, but I don't know whether I have ever accepted Christ or not. If you're any one of you in any one of those three categories, I want to see your hand now. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life, or you need a no-so experience with him. Upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the building, let me see your hand right now. Anybody, anywhere. Hand over here being raised. Thank you. Is there others? Any others that would raise your hand anywhere in the building? Raise them right now. Raise your hand now. We also believe in receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. You'd say, I know I am born of God, but I've never been filled with the Spirit according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And I want to receive that biblical experience of being filled with the Spirit today. Anybody in the room, anywhere, raise your hand. Anybody? Everybody stand, please. I think there were a couple of hands that were raised, and there were more that should have been raised. So I'm going to go down front, right down here. And if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here. I want to shake hands with you and pray with you. If you need somebody to walk here with you, they'll be glad to walk down here with you. Come on, right now. God bless you. Just wait a minute. We'll wait for some others to come. Come on. You that raised your hand or should have raised your hand, come on. Do exactly what this young lady did. Come on. Right now. We're waiting on you.